Welcome back to the Prince Huda podcast, episode 12. I am your host, Prince Huda. It's been a while. Let's address it. There's two elephants in the room today I want to address. First off, I will not be introducing my co-host today, Coach Chippy. He couldn't make it today, and that's okay. He's got a lot going on. I got a lot going on, and that brings us to elephant number two in the room. It's been a while. Podcast has been a little inconsistent, not my best effort. If you follow me on socials, you know, still posting videos every single day, Instagram, TikTok, even YouTube shorts now, but the podcast is something I started late last year, really wanted to dial into, and for whatever reason, or, you know, truthfully reasons that I just haven't been putting enough time and effort into it, and that's something that I want to change because I owe it to you guys. And it's something that I want to continue to grow with myself, with Coach Chippy, and with all of you. So I apologize. We've had a bit of a low frequency episodes recently, but we will be back to a weekly basis wherever you find your podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. I'm there. I want you all to be there because we got a great show today. I've been very busy over the last few weeks. The energy in these episodes, you know, I had not much going on. The highlight of, you know, last week's or week and a half ago's episode was the fact that my tricep was pulsating too much. We cleared that up. It was okay. Nothing wrong with it. But it's been a busy, busy few weeks. And, you know, if you're listening, this isn't the best ASMR podcast. A bit under the weather. Sinuses are kicking in. If you live in Toronto or the GTA, the weather is absolutely bipolar right now. I mean, it's snowing today as I am recording. Last week, it was 20 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit. Okay, if you're American, oh, he doesn't do Celsius. He only does Fahrenheit. I don't subscribe to this Fahrenheit thing. Okay, I think it's like minus 30 divided by 2. So do the backwards. We're talking Celsius here. This is a Canadian on a Canadian podcast. 20 degrees Celsius last week. Okay, people were in shorts, t-shirts, and 8 days later, it's fucking snowing. So I don't know what's going on with the Canadian weather system. I know we do that groundhog thing. Did he see a shadow? I think he did. But the reality is it's still madness winter here. The seasons keep changing. I truthfully have not been dressing warm enough. And I'm paying the price for it right now. Dealing with the sniffles. A little bit of a cough. But if you'll excuse me, tonight might be my flu game. But this podcast is all about the love of the game. Because I owe you guys an explanation. It's been a while. And I'm glad we're here today together. It's not great weather. I'm not feeling the best. But this is a podcast that will be one of the best of mine. So if you'll excuse me, grab a sip of water. Because if you're listening, you don't even know that. If you're watching, you'll see it. But if you're listening, you don't even know. A lot going on in the life of Prince Huda the last few weeks. A lot going on. Voice is a little bit raspy. Also, because this week I got to attend AEW Dynamite live from Toronto. That is a wrestling company. A lot of people don't know. You know, there's WWE, WWF back in the day. That's the big, you know, global, that's the McDonald's of professional wrestling, okay? But now we have AEW. It started a few years ago. A couple big names from the WWE in that promotion. One who I met this week, but we'll get into that. And they have a TV deal and they've started doing some good shows. And they came to Toronto this week. They're at the Coca-Cola Coliseum for their weekly show, Wednesday Night Dynamite. So, you know, WWE, you have Monday for Raw, Friday for SmackDown. These guys were on Wednesdays. So I got to go and it was fucking awesome. I mean, I love going to wrestling shows. I know we talk about wrestling a little bit on this podcast. Kind of dove into it with Chippy. You know, he's on the surface. I think if he came to that show, he'd be fired up. But I love that, going to shows. I just think it's so funny. The crowd participation is amazing. I mean, it was probably 8-ish or so thousand people screaming, cheering, booing. I always find it funny when they have the chance of like, you know, you fucked up. Holy shit. Like the swear words. It's always so funny seeing one of the chances, you sick fuck. And I got to see an 8-year-old kid with his dad chanting in unison, you sick fuck, at a wrestler. And that was pretty funny. I like watching, you know, wrestling now that I know, okay, it's fake. Why do you like that stuff? Because I appreciate the athleticism of it. And just because the guys in the ring know who's going to win, I'm a fan. I don't know who's going to win. So I love watching that stuff. So I had a great time at AEW. One of the big names in AEW that used to be in the WWE, you may know him, Edge, the Rated R Superstar. You know, you think you know me. That guy. I got to meet him this week before the show, which was freaking awesome. Company I work for, shout out Sports Interaction. They were, you know, Edge was doing their, or sorry, Adam Copeland is his name because Edge is this WWE name. He was doing the media rounds, you know, talking to some promotions to kind of get the buzz out there about the show in Toronto. And so I found out on Monday that he was going to be coming into the office Tuesday. And I was jazzed up. Like, we talked about this a few episodes ago, you know, how to move around celebrities, how to move around famous people being in the space. You know, you don't want to be an absolute fangirl. Oh my God, I'm your biggest fan. I love this, 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 this about you. They don't want to hear that, right? They want to have a genuine conversation. But it was a little tough to do that because you know how big of a wrestling fan I am. So, but he was super cool. He was dope. He walked in, and so I got a video of like him walking in, and no one really told him we were filming. And then he like kind of looked at the camera and gave me like a smile. And then as he's walking away, he goes, "Did you get a good angle?" And I was like, okay, good. Climate is cool. He's cool with this stuff. Because I wasn't sure if he was pissed that I was filming. And he's just like, "You get a good angle." I was like, "Yeah, I got a good angle." So he came in. There's a clip up right now on Sports Interaction socials. It's pretty cool. He's a big Leafs fan, as I am here. You can see the hat right behind me. I mean, this guy's an insane Leafs fan. Like, he's got like the belt that they give out in the locker room, the shrine, all that stuff. So he was talking some hockey, talking some Leafs. He mentioned that a couple of the wrestlers are in a fantasy hockey league, which I think is hilarious. It just makes them feel more down to earth. And so he did an interview with one of the guys on our team, and then he was leaving, and then, you know, Prince has to be the guy. "Sorry, can I get a picture?" And I put the picture on Prince Huda Instagram and TikTok. You can see it right now. He was dope. He's a big, big motherfucker, that's for sure. Big, tall guy, big, strong guy, strong handshakes. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, I always try to, like, squeeze a little bit to show, like, you know, I'd like to think I have big grip strength. But a lot of these wrestlers and celebrities, like, they got big hands. Like, I remember when I met Leon Draisaitl, he's got a big hand. And these handshakes are tough. So I try to give a little squeeze back, you know, let them know, hey, like, you know, I lift too. I lift a little bit too, right? So try to give back to them and give me a good handshake. So we got a picture. And then old Prince trying to be, you know, trying to stir the pot a little bit, you know, being myself. So Edge used to be, or Adam Copeland was part of WWE last year. And they did a show in Toronto in August that I went to, and it was like his 25th anniversary, and it ended up being his last match with the WWE. And so the rumor mill on Twitter and like Instagram, like all the social media speculation was like, that was his last match. So even though the company never said it was his last match, it was pretty much assumed, right? So I saw him and I was like, hey, like, I bought a ticket to a show, SmackDown last year in August. That was supposedly your last match, and here you are less than a year later in Toronto wrestling again. And without a hesitation, he goes, "No, I never said it was my last match. WWE never said it was my last match. It was my 25th anniversary." And he goes, "You weren't listening." And he just threw it right back at me. And I'll be honest, that stumped me. It popped the room. They're all having a good laugh, and I was just like, "Shit, man, he got me." I thought I could stump him there, you know, feeling like a smart ass, and he gave it right back to me. And so I couldn't do anything but just sit there and go, shit, man, Rated R Superstar. Witty on the microphone, as I've known all these years, just gave it right back to me. So that was a pretty funny moment, but great meeting him. Super cool meeting a wrestler. I've never met a wrestler before. So I've met hockey players, which are cool. I never met a football player, never met a basketball player, but meeting Edge, the Rated R Superstar, that was super, super cool. I know his name's Adam Copeland, but I know him as Edge. I actually believe his Funko Pop is somewhere on this shelf here. I think it's in the back. For those listening, if you've watched the show on YouTube before, I collect Funko Pops, and I have a ton in my background. I believe there's one of Edge or Adam Copeland somewhere back there. We got Undertaker, Snoop Dogg, Batman. You can see Wayne Gretzky's up there, The Rock. So Got a lot of cool stuff. If you've never seen the show and you've only listened, if you check it out on YouTube, take a look at my background. I started collecting those, I think, because I remember I had like an internship at an office. And one of the guys that sat across from me, he had a Batman and a Robin one. And he just propped them up on his desk. And I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, it's a Funko Pop. Or sorry, Pop Funko. I keep saying Funko Pop. Pop Funko is the brand. I'm such a collector, I don't even know the name. But he had two of those on his desk. And I was like, oh, okay. Those look cool. And so I started exploring. They had wrestling ones. They had hockey ones, basketball ones, celebrities. So I just started collecting them. A lot of people say, oh, don't take them out of the box. Leave them in the thing. It's like, no. Like, I got these shelves behind me that I got to do something with. You know, I've even got the Style and Flow hat up there. We got the Patriots logo here. So, you know, let's put some personality. Let's put some pizzazz behind me. Really show the real Prince to the people. And so, yeah, I have an Edge one. I got to meet him. I'm thinking about it now. I wish I brought the box because I still keep all the boxes. And I would have brought it in and had him sign it. And that would have went up in value. But, you know, I try to play it cool. And maybe after the little cheap shot I tried to take, he wouldn't have been as graceful. But, yeah, that was a cool thing this week, meeting Edge. Going to the AEW show, something super fun. You know, I love going to wrestling shows. If you've never been to a wrestling show, whether you're a fan or not, I encourage you to go. I encourage you to go with the fans so that they can kind of fill you in on the gaps of, like, the storyline of what's happening and all that. But super fun. The atmosphere is always, it's always crazy. And I think the next one, WWE's running Money in the Bank, which is like that ladder match where they have the briefcase on top. They're running that at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto in, I believe, July. So you'll definitely see me at that somehow. I think would love to make my way into the WWE or wrestling one day, because I think that's like, you know, sports betting, football, hockey, like those are like my passions, but I've always loved wrestling, like a little guilty pleasure. So, I mean, like, you know, I'm still talking about it. It's been, you know, over 10 minutes and we're still just talking about something I did for a few hours this week, but that's how much I love it. So, you know, one day I'll make my way into the wrestling business, maybe not as a wrestler, maybe a social person, maybe an interviewer, maybe a heel manager. That would be pretty fun. But yeah, that was one of the big things that I did recently that I had a lot of fun with. Also, big news on the Prince Huda front. Your boy is looking to move. That's right. I'm looking to move. Looking to move into the big city. Become a city boy for the first time in my life. Currently, you know, I live at home. I don't know if I've said on the show before. I live at home. So all the times I know, I make jokes about the parents and all that. I'm dealing with that. I know it, but looking to move. So we've been looking to move with my cousin who works downtown. We're trying to live together. So we're looking at apartments right now, and it's real funny. I love watching those real estate shows where they like look at the apartments and you know right away whether or not you like it or you love it. If anyone's ever tried to look for a spot to rent in Toronto, it might be the worst, or Canada as a whole is probably one of the worst countries to rent right now just because of the pricing. It's crazy what you're paying, what kind of space you get. And, you know, I'm a creator, so obviously going to be making videos, going to be yelling at my phone, going to be reacting to bets. So want a little bit of space between the rooms because, you know, I warned him, I'm a creator, I make a lot of videos, do podcasts, raise my voice a lot. So it would be tough, not tough, fun to live with me, better or for worse. So it's just about finding the right place. We've been looking for a couple weeks now, just kind of touring apartments, seeing what we like, what we don't. A lot more of what we don't than what we like, I'll be honest. But I think that's the reality. If you want to move, you're not going to find your ideal place. There's going to be some sacrifices you make, but yeah, that's going good. Then eventually you'll move down. We'll do a nice cribs tour. You know, I wonder if the content will be any different. It'll probably be the same, but now having someone to hold the camera for me for certain videos like POVs or skits or kind of stuff like that, or, you know, more live streaming I think I'll do on TikTok. I've had some fun with those. I always seem to hit my bets when I go live on TikTok, so definitely want to start doing more of that. And the background will change. I'll probably bring the shelves and the Funkos, but yeah, that'll have to change as well. So yeah, looking for a spot. Being in Toronto a lot more with work and all the stuff going on, it's definitely opportune, and the time seems, you know, right. But I'll keep you guys updated on that one. But that's something I haven't shared many friends, much family, just with you guys because you guys are my family. Prince Faithful. Tentative name. I don't know. I think I was live one day or I was doing a story and I said Prince Faithful and it kind of stuck. I feel like you guys are faithful. We're approaching 2 years of Prince Huda Picks, which is crazy. Well, Prince Huda, originally Prince Huda Picks, now the Prince Huda, which is crazy to think about. Closing in on 4,100 followers on TikTok, almost 350,000 likes, which is insane. Instagram, we just passed 1,500, so moving the chains on there as well, especially with the news that TikTok might be banned in the U.S. Some point this year. That'll be interesting to navigate. But Instagram, we're churning away. YouTube, been posting a lot more videos on YouTube Shorts. So if you're subscribed, just click the Shorts tab. A lot of the videos you'll see before I post them on Instagram or TikTok, you'll see them on YouTube Shorts. Having some fun with that. It's been fun. I think we're at 135 subscribers. Would love to get to 200 very soon. So be a friend, tell a friend. Share my channel with people you know, and I promise you they won't regret it. So we're churning. We're churning away. It's been a fun journey. We're almost at 2 years. I could have never imagined that they'd be here in 2 years. Like, to my left, just behind me, there's a bathroom with a shower curtain that's like blue, brown, and white, and that was where I filmed my first video, right in front of that shower curtain. So awkward. So anxious. I can't even go back and watch. Like, I challenge you, if you're listening to this and you're that curious, whether you're new or old, go back and watch one of my early videos. It is, I think it's cringe because it's me, but at the end of the day, it's just content. Like, I remember starting, and I think for like 6 months, or no, maybe not 6 months. Like, I started in May, I believe, and then probably when NFL season started was when I really started finding my groove, because that's what I love to talk about. And I think that was kind of when it clicked in my mind. I figured out a little bit what I was doing. But yeah, those first few videos, oof, like zero emotion. Like, hey guys, I've never done this before, but here are my best bets for tonight's NBA. And I think I went 0-for-5 on the first video I ever put out. So Prince Huda Picks had a start that was probably a pretty good foreshadow of what the channel would become. But now I'm having fun, kind of branched off from betting. I do betting, obviously, with work, but, you know, posting content about sports and just comedy. I like making people laugh. Fun fact, whether you want to believe this or not, when I was in the seventh grade, we did superlatives in the classroom. You know, most likely this, most likely that. And I was voted most likely to become a stand-up comedian. So we live in the dream. I don't know. I would love to try it. Open mic night. I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be fun. I don't. Like, you ever be in the shower and you think about some funny stuff? You're like, oh, this would be a good stand-up comedy bit. Like, I've done that before. And so I wonder if other people do that. I saw a thing the other day that not everyone has a voice in their head that talks and they just have nothing going through their brain at all times, which I think is crazy. Like, even during this podcast, I'm talking and there's a voice talking to me, and it's just, I thought that was pretty normal. Apparently that's not, but maybe that's a sign of a genius. I don't know. I really, really don't know. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, almost approaching the 2 year mark, we'll do something special for the 2 year mark. I want to start giving back to you guys a little bit, giving away some prizes, and just show my appreciation to those that have been there forever. There's so many people I've met along the journey, through TikTok, through Instagram, that have helped me kind of grow as a creator, done some collabs. And so they know who they are. I'll shout them out probably as we get closer to the 2 year mark, but appreciate everyone. Whether you joined the Prince Faithful, a week ago, or you joined a year and a half ago, I appreciate you all. And we're going to keep going, right? I'm 24 years old, Prince Huda at 30, hopefully married, maybe. But hopefully a big, big star. I'd probably put big star over married. I don't know why married came to mind first, Freudian slip, but big star first. That would be pretty cool. So yeah, a lot to look forward to from Prince Huda as we go. Currently March Madness. going crazy. I don't think I've won a bet inside of March yet. Right now, as I'm recording, I have Florida Atlantic University, who down by 4 points, 5 minutes left. Okay, so maybe they can come back. Maybe they won't. But, you know, March Madness is so unpredictable. I put a future on Kentucky to win the whole thing. I put that future down yesterday morning, plus 3,300. So $10 bet pays out 330. They lost in the first round. So yeah, that's kind of like a summation of what my March Madness madness is really like. I don't know shit about college basketball, admittedly. But I'd imagine anyone that's watching March Madness, 80 to 75% probably don't know shit about college basketball. But you're able to gamble during the workday. None of it makes sense. A lot of people riding the underdog trend. Some people riding the favorites trend. At the end of the day, you win, you lose. It's really not 50-50. Anything can happen on any given day. So I love March Madness because of how unpredictable it is. I would argue March Madness is more exciting than the NBA, at least regular season. Like, NBA playoffs is pretty crazy, but there's not much NBA regular season games that I'll watch where I'm like, wow, that was insane. Whereas March Madness, you have comebacks, buzzer beaters, upsets, no-name players becoming somebodies. It's just unbelievably unpredictable. The NBA is somewhat predictable. I mean, we had a run of what? 4 years, 5 years, where we had the same two teams in the finals every single year. March Madness, you don't see that. I think the last time a team won back-to-back was almost 20 years ago, right? So it's fun. If you ask me to name five players in the tournament, I can't, despite watching like 4 hours worth of games yesterday. I probably couldn't even tell you, but that's the beauty of it. It's March. It's madness. It's insane. And that's what makes it so much fun. So that's been taking up a lot of my time watching on TV. Also, two shows that I've been watching on TV recently. I think if you're a sports fan, you'll like one. And if you're just one of those weird drama people, you'll like the other. So we'll start with the first one. It's called Dynasty. Not the show on Netflix with the girl from Victorious. The New England Patriots Dynasty. You see it right there. If you're listening, I'm pointing to my Go Pats emblem right above me. New England Patriots fan, ride or die. I love that show. It kind of gave insights into the 20-year dynasty the New England Patriots had from the year they drafted Tom Brady to the year he left. And it was pretty cool seeing all the stuff in the locker room. It kind of felt like a hit piece on Belichick, but, you know, that's the show's arc. He did come off as quite an asshole, even when they had him on camera, so it's crazy to hear what Brady had to deal with during his time in New England, and it's crazy they won as much as they did during their time in New England. So one of the great shows. If you like football, you'll enjoy that show. Absolutely. I don't think I've ever said why I'm a Patriots fan. A lot of people, at least now, people are more like, why are you a Patriots fan? But during the peak of the run, 2015 to, let's say, 2020 or 2019, a lot of people we're like, what? Like, bandwagon? What did you start that team? You know, a lot of hate, a lot of hate. But here's the real story, okay? When I was 11 years old, I remember I went shopping with my parents, and I hated shopping as a kid. I hated going to the mall, watching my parents try on clothes, pick stuff out. I'd be sitting, you know, on a stool somewhere or under a shelf playing on my iPod because I was boring. I hated shopping. My dad knew that. And so one day, he's like, hey, let's go to Lids. And we went to Lids, and he picked out a hat. He's like, I'm going to buy you a hat. I'm like, okay, cool. So I didn't really know what was going on. Like, at that time, I really only watched hockey, so I only knew really about hockey teams. And he bought me a New England Patriots hat. And he could have picked any hat in the entire store. 31 other teams in the NFL he could have picked, but he picked a New England Patriots hat. Little did I know they were one of the best teams in the NFL and were on an absolute insane run of a dynasty. But I didn't know that. So I didn't even watch football, but I used to wear that hat. And then one year, I was in a summer camp, and I was wearing that Patriots hat to camp. And our camp counselor was doing attendance, and he's going through the list of names. And when he got to my name, he didn't say my name. He looked at me, And he said, Tom Brady. And I'm like, what? And he goes, Tom Brady. And I'm like, what? Who is that? I believe I said, who is that? And he was all embarrassed. He's like, oh, it's the quarterback of the Patriots, the team of hat you're wearing. And I was just like, oh, okay. And again, like, I didn't watch football. I had no idea who Tom Brady was. I just knew the Patriots logo. I didn't even watch football. And it was just really, really embarrassing. And that night, I went home and I started watching everything. Like, I was researching the team, the players, all that, because I felt like such a noob and got embarrassed in that moment. Come to find out, they're one of the best teams in the fucking NFL. Like, all right, cool. Thanks for the hat, Dad. So then I start locking in. I think the first year I was really dialed into the team was 2000 and I want to say 12 or no 2011 season, 2012 Super Bowl, when they lost to the Giants, because that was, I think, was the first season I was really locked in. And it's very easy to lock into a team that's always winning. And I'll never forget one of my buddies at the time, Nick, shout out Nick, we made a bet on that Super Bowl for a whole dollar. A Canadian loony. And that was the first ever sports bet I made in my entire life. And I lost, which I guess was a good preview for the rest of my sports betting career. But I'll never forget, we made a bet over Facebook. I can pull up the chat logs one day and show you. Over Facebook, we bet a single dollar on the Patriots versus the Giants. The Patriots ended up losing that game, but they won. Few years later, against Seattle, Atlanta, the Rams. So I saw them win a few in my heyday. And I think once I kind of told my friends that watch football that story, they're like, all right, that's your team. And the fact that they're absolute dog shit now and I'm still a fan, I think is a test to the level of patience I have. And I mean, I've seen them win, so I'm ready to see a reset. Right now, I have absolutely no idea what the New England Patriots are doing. Like, I have no idea what the New England Patriots are doing. We went from one of the greatest dynasties of the 21st century across all sports to one of the worst franchises in NFL of the last 5 years. Okay, Belichick. Terrible, tumultuous relationship with Brady, with Kraft. That show talks all about it. They got him out of there. Nobody in the NFL wanted to take on Belichick as a head coach. So what did that say about us? Keeping him on beyond his, I guess, usage or time to be an elite coach. Bring in Gerard Mayo. I like Gerard Mayo. I like Mayo. But I don't know what this team's going to do next year. Ton of cap space. Made a few moves for some guys that it's like, okay, sure. No real game-changing players. Re-signed a lot of pieces from the team that went 4-13 last year. So I don't know if that's supposed to make me feel better or worse. They got the third overall pick. It looks like it's going to be either Drake May or Jaden Daniels. If I had to pick right now, I'd probably want Daniels because we don't really have an offensive line. So we're going to need a lot of scrambling. So this team's going to be shit for a while. I mean, you look at the AFC. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, I think we'll get there. And then in the division, you got Aaron Rodgers, Tua. Like, they're going to be the worst team in the AFC East. Maybe one of the worst teams in the AFC for the next few years. I think until Rodgers retires, the Dolphins and Tua finally reach that point where they split up and Josh Allen will probably be doing his thing for a very long time. I think the Patriots' window to make playoffs in the AFC or even win a Super Bowl, that window's on hiatus for a few years, and that's okay. I saw them win in front of my parents. I saw them win in front of my family, and I always seemed to clean up big betting on the Patriots whenever they were playing. I remember the year the Patriots had played the Falcons in the Super Bowl, the 28-3 comeback. I had a Super Bowl party at my house, and that was one of the greatest nights of my life. So they'll never take those nights away from me. So I'll deal with the team that's mediocre to dog shit for the next few years. The other show I wanted to talk about, Quiet on Set. This show is absolutely insane. It is about Dan Schneider from Nickelodeon, who produced Drake and Josh, iCarly, Zoe 101, all that. Some of the biggest kids shows ever. And all the crazy shit that went on behind the scenes at Nickelodeon. Like, this show is dark. The first episode, you know, some stuff here and there. Okay, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. But the more you watch, I mean, oh my God. Just Google that show. Or Google Dan Schneider if you don't want to watch the show. There is just so much to unpack there about how disgusting and messed up the Nickelodeon shows were back in the day. Like, when you're a kid watching them, you don't realize it. But there's so many things, clips that you see out of context on this show or scenes with stuff going on that you're just like, I didn't think of that as a kid. But now I'm watching it at 24, like, what the fuck? It's just gross. It's gross. And one of the weird things I do recall from watching iCarly, there was a lot of feet stuff in that show. A lot of times people's feet were out doing stuff with feet, all that. Personally, I'm not a feet guy, but Nickelodeon, Dan Schneider, definitely a feet guy, because they go into the show, but all the weird stuff he had the characters say and do, and a lot of it revolved around feet. It was just like, ugh. Like, Nickelodeon, one of the most successful kids channels of all time, taking a huge hit with this show. Because a lot of this stuff is true. You know, these aren't allegations. Oh, we heard this person say this. Oh, this person could have said this. These are actual accounts from people who are on set of these television shows and saying what they saw, what they were told, what was instructed. And then you watch the shows and see these clips and you're like, what the hell? This guy is a sicko. I just watched episode 3, Drake Bell from Drake and Josh. I mean, I wanted to go through the TV and give that guy a hug. I don't even want to say what he shared on that show, but you could just Google Drake Bell or watch the show for yourself. And I mean, man, the fact that what had happened to him, and he went on to film Drake and Josh and become this big star, unbelievable. One of those shows that you'll probably only ever watch once. You'll probably tell all your friends about it, and then never want to think about it again. Quiet on Set. 4-part documentary. Definitely check it out if you were a fan of Nickelodeon in the day, or if you like those weird, sick, twisted shows. Highly recommend. This show is nuts. Oh, now I'm thinking about it. It's just gross. Just gross. Like, Dynasty, if you're a sports guy, you like watching sports, you like hearing scandals behind the scenes, great show. If you like just graphic, weird, creepy shows, that's exactly what it is. And so I am just blown away by that show. One thing I wanted to address here today, actually, since I have you all, I got a problem with Tim Hortons. If you're not Canadian, Tim Hortons is the equivalent of Dunkin' Donuts in Canada. It's like one of our biggest chains. If you've ever traveled to Canada, you've seen them everywhere. If you're Canadian, you know this is the spot. Tim Hortons, coffee, Timbits, donuts, everything. Tim Hortons Roll Up the Rim has been ruined. Tim Hortons Roll Up the Rim used to be one of the coolest things as a kid. You buy a coffee, you buy a hot chocolate, your French vanilla, and you roll up the rim on the cup, and it tells you, you win a prize. You could win a free coffee. You could win a bagel. You could win a donut. Or you could win a car. All right? That's how crazy these prizes were. And back in the day, everyone used to buy Tim Hortons cups. You roll up the rim. So please play again. Or you win. It was the coolest concept ever. Tim Hortons is still doing it, but in the worst way possible. Okay? Now there's no longer rims on the cup. It is an app. You have to scan your Tim Hortons app when you pay, and there's a rim added to your account, and then you click the button. You don't roll up a rim. You click a button, and it automatically rolls up and tells you what you win. That's so lame. It's so lame because they can just rig it. You know, when the name is on the cup of what you win, there's no disputing that. When I'm putting my trust in a software that Tim Hortons built to determine what free item Tim Hortons is giving me, they're going to give me shit. I roll up the rim. Please play again. I've actually never won Roll Up the Rim since they removed the paper cups. Okay, roll up the rim. One of the greatest concepts in Canadian history that was absolutely tarnished by Tim Hortons. So Tim Hortons, if you're listening, shame on you. I would love a brand deal, but shame on you. I was going to go buy a Tim Hortons coffee this morning, but I thought, you know what? They don't deserve my business. If some Canadian, American, North American, any chain replicates roll up the rim in some capacity, I know McDonald's does it a little bit with Monopoly, and that's fun. But if you're able to recreate roll up the rim for Prince Huda, I will become your biggest spokesperson, your biggest advocate, and you don't even need to pay me. Because I would look forward to roll up the rim every single year. And I didn't even know it started. They're not even doing any marketing for it either. I just went there and you see the signs. You're like, oh my God. And you see the cup. It looks like there's a rim on the cup. There's nothing on the cup. It's all in the app. So absolutely ridiculous stuff from Tim Hortons for tarnishing a once Canadian tradition that I absolutely loved. You want to know why Canadians aren't satisfied with their country? It's not about the government. It's not about housing prices. It's about things like roll up the rim being taken away from people like me and you. Wow. I didn't think I'd be that passionate about that, but it was bothering me. It was bothering me quite a bit, and I just had to get that off my chest. Speaking of things to get off my chest, there is a story this week about one of the most famous baseball players in the entire world, Shohei Ohtani. So for those that don't know who this guy is the best baseball player on planet Earth. He can pitch and bat. One of the very few people that have ever been able to do that at an elite level. Like, he is just an anomaly. He's from Japan. He was dominating the Japanese league. Came to the MLB. One of the best pitchers and one of the best hitters simultaneously. And become a fan favorite. Everyone wants to watch this guy play. He's very unique. He doesn't speak a lot of English, which I think adds to his aura of mystique because he's not like you and me, which I really love. And the MLB has really pushed this guy into the spotlight as becoming one of the biggest stars in the league. He also just signed a contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers for, I think, $700 million. Okay, one of the biggest contracts I've ever seen. More money than I'll probably ever see in my life. I know that sounds bad to say, but let's be honest. $700 million for one guy to play baseball? That's how good he is. So this week, his translator, who, not just his translator, one of his closest friends, who has been his translator since he got to the MLB, by his side all the time, got fired. Because apparently, his translator had stolen $4.5 million from Ohtani to pay off gambling debt. So how does a translator that makes a couple hundred thousand a year at max have $4.5 million of gambling debt? Where is that money coming from? So that's interesting. That's the first interesting piece. The second interesting piece is the day before this story came out, said translator knew that the story was going to break and made a comment to ESPN saying, yeah, I have a gambling addiction. I have a problem. I told Shohei about it and he offered to help pay it off. And there's wire transfer payments from Ohtani to the translator in increments of $500,000 to allegedly pay off this debt. So that's the story. And then a day later, the story changes to say that Ohtani has been involved in this massive theft and the translator is stealing money from his client without telling him. Really? Really? We went from these two brothers, in his own words, Misahara, I believe is his name, in his own words, says they're tight. They're like brothers. Would you steal $4.5 million from your brother, and would your brother not notice that $4.5 million were stolen from you? So I think it's a little fishy. What I think is that Ohtani, Mr. $700 million man, is making these bets through his translator. Okay, why is the translator making $500,000 bets? He might not even be making $500,000 a year. You know who's making way more than $500,000 a year? Shohei Ohtani. So he's probably putting in parlays And the translator's making the bets through an illegal book. And Ohtani's giving him the money. That's what I think's going on. But obviously, that's a bad look for Major League Baseball. If the biggest star in the league has been gambling illegally, they got to suspend him. And what happens when you suspend him? TV ratings go down. Jersey sales go down. Level of interest from international fans goes down. So there's a lot of variables that would be impacted on the MLB's bottom line if they were to suspend one of their greatest players. It's also a stain on the league itself that even the elite players are betting illegally. You know, this would be the equivalent of, like, most skilled player. This would be the equivalent of Lamar Jackson betting on games and getting suspended. The league doesn't want Lamar getting suspended. He makes them a lot of money. He's a face of the league. I'd say Ohtani. I was going to say Mahomes, but Mahomes has won a couple championships. Ohtani doesn't want anything, so I'd compare him to Lamar. But allegedly, these bets were placed on soccer. They were placed on football. They were placed on basketball. They seem to be placed on every single sport except baseball. How convenient is that? How convenient is fucking that? So Shohei Ohtani makes these payments to the translator, and it's fine. But then a day later, Shohei Ohtani is not making these payments, and he's being robbed of his money, and as a result, the translator gets fired. I think the translator is taking the fall. If these guys are as tight as they claim to be, and they always seem to be together, when you look up pictures of Misahara, the translator, Ohtani's always in the photo. These guys are tight. So for him to not know that he's been stealing money from his client, that rubs me the wrong way. And I just don't believe that Ohtani wouldn't know. And the story that's plausible of him paying off his gambling debt makes sense. You're being a good friend. But when I'm hearing the amount of debt you're in, it just doesn't make sense to me. So I think Ohtani has been gambling through this guy. And they've been putting together probably a good system. They will lose more than they win, which sounds like me, which sounds like the average sports better. So, you know what? I don't like what's happening here. I think it's suspicious. I don't even think this is that hot of a conspiracy theory. That's what I think is happening. It seems like a lot of people are leaning towards that as well. I saw Stephen A. did a piece on this, and it's just very, very eye-opening for the MLB, if I do say so myself. It's reassuring to know, though, that no matter how good of an athlete you are, you know, you're in elite shape, you're this, you know, holier-than-thou person, you probably wake up at 6 a.m., go for runs, lift weights, do all this, blah, 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 to be the best in the world, you're still a degenerate sports bettor just like me. You're no better than Prince. You're no better than Prince. Calvin Ridley, you're no better than Prince. Shohei Ohtani, you're no better than Prince. We're all degenerate gamblers. There's a guy on the Patriots who, Kayshawn Booty, if that's how we say your name, you're no better than Prince either. Athletically, sure. You know, physics, sure. But we're both degenerate sports bettors that love a nice parlay here and there. And that's something that can't be taken away from either of us. I love that. Like, just knowing you have stuff in common with professional athletes is awesome. I love seeing when they're my age. Like, this blew my mind today. I was looking up ages of professional athletes. Vladimir Guerrero is born in the same year as me. One of the best players on the Blue Jays. And Luka Doncic, you know, the phenom of the NBA, is born in June of 1999. And I'm born in May of 1999. So I'm older than Luka Doncic. How crazy is that? In another life, we'd be boys. Me and Luca having some hookah, going out. That would be so much fun because he's a 99. He grew up in the same time as me in a different part of the world and probably at a different pace considering he was playing basketball. But maybe we'd be tight. See, when athletes are older than me, I don't think about it. And when they're younger than me, I don't think about it. Because when they're older than me, they're just older than me. Whether you're a year older than me, or you're 20 years older than me, you're a pro athlete, older, I don't think about it. If you're younger than me, you just make me feel like shit. Okay, when I see a guy like Easton Cowan, who's like what, 2003 born, 2004, lighting up the OHL and going to be a star on the Maple Leafs in the next few years. You know, that makes me feel bad because he's doing that at a young age. And I wasn't doing shit at a young age. I was just anxious and socially awkward at his age. So that pisses me off. But when you're my age, I think it's pretty dope because that means he's a 90s baby like me and he's lighting up the league. It makes me think maybe I could have done that. I don't have the size or the athleticism, but I think I have the mental toughness. I think if I was born 6 feet tall and I had an ability to put on weight a little bit faster, I think I could have played. I don't think I could have went pro, but I think I would have played. I think there would have been a stage at some point in my life where maybe a day or a week where I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I could have went pro. Probably not, but you never know. You know, I stand by what I said back in, I believe it was December, that I could play quarterback for the 49ers with how good that offensive line was, with how good that offense was. You know, I'm handing the ball off to CMC 30 times that game, and then I'm throwing one screen pass to Kittle, and that shows that I was on the statistical board. I know I got a lot of heat for that take. People call me an idiot. People call me a coward. And that's no disrespect to Brock Purdy. I love Brock Purdy. I'm a Brock Purdy believer now after what he did against the Lions, I believe it was. But to this day, anyone could go in that Niners offense and look really good, including an average son of a bitch like Prince Huda. But we've got a lot of football coming.
It's a weird spot.
It's a very weird spot because NFL is my forte. Like, sports betting, I think, is like the niche I've kind of started out in and then really branched into more NFL-centric sports betting and then kind of exclusively NFL. Hockey a little bit more now, thanks to Chip, really kind of brought me back into that, which I appreciate a ton. And sports betting, you know, is always a part of each sport. But it's hard because it's like, pick a lane. I can't pick a lane. I like football. I like hockey. I like UFC. I like wrestling. And I like sports betting. There is an intersection of all of them in some way. But at the end of the day, I like all of them. So when there's no football on, I kind of lean off the NFL and go towards stuff going on in the NHL, in the NBA, in March Madness, you know? It's March. Should I be doing content about March Madness? Or should I be doing content about Deebo Samuel changing his jersey number? Or should I do both, right? Keep my current audience that likes NFL and then add new people with March Madness. I just like to stay on top of the world because honestly, I love everything. Or UFC. I mean, UFC. Excuse me. UFC is going on all the time. If you want to see me do more UFC stuff, follow Sports Interaction on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I do a lot of UFC stuff with them because I love UFC too. But it's hard because you don't want to spread yourself too thin. Sorry, I've been talking for, you know, 45 minutes now. Voice is getting a little raspy. But on the topic of UFC, there is one thing that I want to bring up. I haven't seen Roadhouse yet with Conor McGregor. I've heard mixed things. I think I'm going to watch it tonight. Yeah, I'm probably going to watch that tonight. I'm excited. But Conor McGregor announces his return. Allegedly, McGregor-Chandler is taking place inside an octagon in the summer. Who cares? Who cares? It's crazy hearing me say that, but I think Chandler is just going to bounce his head off the canvas and we move on. The hype around Conor McGregor, unfortunately, he's gone. His aura just doesn't feel there anymore. I'm going to watch the fight. I'm going to bet on the fight. And I'm excited to see him in the ring. But who cares? You know what I mean? Is that a main event of a big UFC card? I guess it depends on who else is in the mix at that time. But you look at 299. You look at 298. You look at 300. That fight wouldn't main event any of those shows. McGregor hasn't fought in a while. Chandler hasn't fought in a while. I watched The Ultimate Fighter. They built up a nice rivalry, but that was like a year ago. You know, I'm more excited to see Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson than I am Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. I never thought I would say that. I never thought I would be more excited to see Jake Paul than Conor McGregor in combat sports. But here we are. Jake's been fighting a lot of bums, and now he's fighting a big-time fighter in Mike Tyson. How is Tyson going to look? How is Jake going to look? How is this fight going to look? Whereas with Chandler and McGregor, we know how Chandler's going to look. McGregor, I don't think a lot of people expect very much from him, and it's probably going to be a quick night for Chandler knocking out McGregor. And I hate saying that, but that's just how I feel. The news came out this week, and I was kind of just like, okay, cool. I've been hearing about this fight for a year and a half. Is it actually going to happen in the summer? Dana hasn't said it. The UFC hasn't put out that graphic, but both guys are saying it. I would imagine, looking into the crystal ball, they would probably announce it at UFC 300 with like a proper promo, have him at a press conference, invite him to the show, because the pageantry around UFC 300 is going to be insane. So why not leave UFC 300 by announcing UFC 303 or 304 McGregor-Chandler main event for no title? But I don't know. I'm more looking forward to Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson than I am Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. And I don't take that back either. It's crazy. I never thought I would say that. But here we are. It's a crazy, crazy world. By the way, if anyone listening collects Pop Funkos and has a McGregor, I've been looking for a McGregor for 3 years. And I would pay good money to have one on that shelf, despite what I just said about him. I do have Mike Tyson, I think. He's somewhere there. I think he's behind Austin Matthews. So I do have Mike Tyson. But it would be nice to get McGregor. I don't think Jake Paul has one. I don't know if I'd ever buy a Jake Paul one. Yeah, I'd probably buy a Jake Paul one. So if you have either, let me know if you have. I think we covered a lot of ground today. I gave you guys an explanation of what's going on, why I've been away. Solo podcasts are different because there's no gaps in the conversation. You know, when I'm talking to someone, I wait, I listen. I do a lot of listening. And then I jump back in. Whereas here, it's just talking for 50 minutes. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a good time. I love doing this. I think doing this today made me realize how much I enjoy doing this and why I should keep going. I will be getting a new microphone because I know the audio isn't the best on this podcast. I know I'm competing with hundreds of thousands of sports podcasts. LeBron just started one. All these people have podcasts and they got much better recording equipment. But they don't have the personality I do. So once I get that recording equipment plus this personality, the sky is the limit. But I appreciate you all for listening and watching. And I appreciate your patience with me. It's been a busy few weeks. It's been a tumultuous few weeks. But I'm glad we got to sit down today, catch up, give you my takes on what's going on, and look forward to new episodes weekly. Subscribe Prince Huda Picks on YouTube. Prince Huda Podcast on Spotify and on Apple. New episodes every week. Follow me on TikTok, The Prince Huda, Instagram, The Prince Huda, and second TikTok, Prince Huda Sports. We're all over the place. But I appreciate you all hanging out with me today. Listen, subscribe, and I will see you all next week. Peace.